Summer's in full swing. We love the summer nights, ice cream dates, trips to the beach, and everything that comes with the season. Weight loss not only becomes an evergreen topic, but also there's no better time to drop a few pounds than right now. So it's very timely that we discuss this one. Why do we hear so much more about weight loss during summertime?
Because recently, a data website called the Zhiwei Data released a report and trying to offer an analysis of people's desire or motivation in terms of losing weight. So according to the report, people's motive of weight loss changes over seasons, and apparently in summer, people are most passionate of losing weight. So when summer passes, people's desire of losing weight goes down as you wear multiple layers of clothes that can cover your fats on your legs or arms. And in autumn, the seasonal food such as roasted chestnuts, sweet grapefruit, and fat hairy crab bring more temptation of eating that most people cannot resist. And also when it's winter time, people's motive of weight loss has dropped dramatically because they believe that more fat should be stored in order to keep them warm to survive the really cold winter. And also they make analysis on the frequency of mentioning weight loss varies in different time periods. I totally agree with their findings. It says that the last 2 days of a public holiday on weekends and at the end of a month are the peak times that people are most determined in losing weight or making plans of doing exercise or go on intermittent fasting. I totally agree with that.
Why do you think it's the case, though?
Take the public holidays, for example. Usually you will go back to your home during these holidays and then your parents will feed you up and then you can eat like a horse and you can try all this guilty food without thinking about losing weight. But afterwards, when it's time to go back to work or go back to your class, you say, oh my God, look at my belly. Yeah, that's really something awkward that you make the determination. Maybe from tomorrow, I need to keep on going to the gym and work out and do some yoga or join a spinning class. But maybe you just fail to materialize your plans.
Carl, for you, do you agree with the findings?
I do, and I think it makes sense. I did like your comment about people believing that in winter you can put on a bit more weight to keep warm, as if we're bears living in caves hibernating in the snow. Like, come on, we live indoors, we can put a coat on. But it is a nice lie that I think we tell ourselves, because it's cold in winter and it's dark outside and we don't want to go out and exercise or go to the gym, and it's we can tell ourselves those sweet little lies we need to not make an effort. When you were talking about going home to visit family, last time I went home to Australia for a week, I put on a kilo. I'm going back.
Just one kilo?
Not too much.
In a week, though, that's...
That's okay.
I gain a kilo by just having one extravagant meal.
That must be a very big meal. So, no, I am one of those people who does like to lose weight in summer. I don't go to the beach and I'm not exactly going to be putting on a bikini and heading off into the surf, but I can understand that, you know, a lot of people want to lose weight because summer comes and they want to wear a little bit less and look their best for the nice days.
Yeah, well, I think actually this talking about exercising more, hitting the gym and losing weight, it starts a few months ago, I would say, but I think it's really when it's summertime when you are going to be putting on shorts and spaghetti tops and stuff, and that's when you're like, I can't just be talking about it anymore. Possibly I would like to see a bit more toned arms as such. But there's also, I think, a difference about like who's yelling, I need to lose weight, as opposed to people actually doing something about it. Are there any findings in the study that give us an idea of that?
Definitely. So according to statistics, the proportion of women in the gym is only 30%. But in terms of who announced the desire of losing weight, women account for 84.2%. So where their male counterparts take up a 15.7%. So by this, it means that compared with men, women are more willing to share their feelings and daily life on social media, but they may lack of actions in materializing their plans. So it seems like more women are speak out and saying, oh, I want to lose weight, but many, very few of them were actually taking plans in reaching this goal. And also it may due to the reason that men and women choosing different ways to lose weight, because usually we have a saying called control your appetite and work out more, which can be translated as 管住嘴，迈开腿. So usually girls prefer the way of control your appetite instead of going to the gym more. But usually guys choose maybe just work out.
Interesting, actually. Well, what would you do, Carl?
I have tried both methods. And to be honest, I think there's, for me, eating less worked much better than going to the gym. I think there's also a bit of science that tends to back that up. You need to do a lot of exercise to lose enough calories, particularly if your diet isn't changing all that much. I think the advantage of one advantage of going to the gym is that it is a bit of theater. Like, you feel like you're doing something. If you eat a slightly smaller meal, you might feel a little bit hungrier, but it's not a huge noticeable difference. But if you go and you pay a huge amount to sign up for a one-year membership and you go and you lift weights and you feel really tired, you really feel like you're doing something. So you've got the theater of the experience. But it doesn't mean you're actually getting very far towards your goal. Mm. And I think that's shown by the fact that a huge number of people will do things like buy gym memberships and then stop going to the gym. And there's an interesting study I was reading from a few years ago, which was pointing out that a lot of gyms, they're oversubscribed. If all of the people who bought a gym membership regularly went to the gym, there wouldn't be enough machines. So gyms, you know, take into consideration the fact that a lot of people want to lose weight, they desire to lose weight and to get fit. And, you know, around the 1st of January, a lot of people sign up, but a few months later, people just aren't going.
Yeah, and it's, sorry to say, a bit comforting sometimes to see most people just simply cannot keep their promise word or fulfill their New Year resolutions.
Aww.
That is, yeah, we're all in this the same. It's just really hard to be persistent. And sometimes even when there's money at stake, but a lot of us simply cannot carry on either. And that's why we see that there's possibly not in a wide scale, but a new business model with some gyms as well as dance studios. That is, it's kind of going for the pay-as-you-go model now, because we all know the membership thing with gyms, it's a rip-off most of the time, and it's rare that people carry through. So you also see this kind of change happening too.
I also did like a scheme that some gyms have put into place. Only a very small number, but to inspire you, they will fine you if you don't go. So
they will fine you?
Really?
Charge you more?
And I'm not sure if it's either the gym or that's one of the an app that sort of encourages you to exercise. But yeah, the idea is you sign up, and if you don't go a certain number of times according to your goal, you'll have a small fine, because little financial inducements like that can be quite effective at getting people to exercise. I think that the big thing, though, to think about is the fact that losing weight is really difficult. Like, we make fun of people who don't go to the gym that much or who give up on diets, but it is incredibly tough to lose weight over a sustained period. And a vast majority of people who lose weight put that weight back on and sometimes have even more weight, you know, a year or two after they've started this process. So I do have a bit of sympathy for people who've really struggled and had their weight go up and down, because it's a really tough battle.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes there could be this rather harsh, I would say, way of looking at your body. That is, if you can't even control your body, what can you control? As in, if you can't even look after your weight, your appearance, then what can you achieve, kind of thing? And that's often seen as a really also discriminatory in a way, and of course harsh attitude, especially used to judge those that wear a few more pounds. But it's really interesting and often a twisted relationship we have with our body shape, our appearance, and of course, weight is part of it. So why, I don't want to come to a conclusion yet, but why do you think that there is just so much talk about losing weight?
Because I think most girls, they want to lose weight because they care about their appearance. We can say that, you know, the pursuit of beauty is in every girl's nature. And everyone want to look prettier. But for me, sometimes the reason why I want to lose weight is because you check out your old photos. And you were definitely skinnier before. And you just see maybe the photos maybe 2 years ago, you were like 10 kilos skinnier than now. Just very straightforward visual shock will make you become less confident about your figure. Then you will definitely want to lose weight. And I think I'm a pretty lucky person because I have a really high metabolism when I was young, so I don't need to control my appetite.
You're still young, Huang Xian.
Yeah, but I was younger. And as we all know, as you're growing older, your metabolism goes down. But for me, I still cannot, like, you know, make my appetite smaller. So then apparently I will gain more pounds. So for me, I'm not the person who can control my appetite or eat less. Or just use those fasting method, or just skip dinner, or quit sugar. That's so hard for me. I have a very strong sweet tooth. So for me, only thing I can do is go to the gym. And I already find a really effective way for myself, that is join the spinning class. And after I take a spinning class maybe 3 times a week, and after a month, you can see, oh wow, I go back to my peak time. I feel super confident about myself. But, you know, it's hard to keep on the schedule. Then after a month, you just skip the gym. Then you go to bounce back. So, yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle. And here comes one of those issues that what you perceive for yourself may be very different from what others perceive in you. Because when I look at Huang Xian, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not one of those mean-spirited girlfriends that's saying something and actually thinking something else. I'm not that kind of person, okay? And Huang Xian, you're like, you're so slender. Like, even, like, well, you know, she used to be just too skinny. But anyhow, like, for us, we think that bystanders and, you know, friends, and we think, hey, she doesn't need to lose any weight. If she loses some weight, she'll disappear. But... But, you know, for her, she still wants to be a bit more slender or toned or whatever it is. So it's kind of interesting that what you see in yourself and other people see in you can be two different people.
See, back in the day when I was at university, I studied psychology. And one of the things we looked at was people with eating disorders like anorexia or bulimia who would be incredibly, incredibly unhealthily thin and could still look at themselves in the mirror and think that they were fat. And, you know, from personal experience, I used to be a fair bit heavier than I am now, and I've lost weight. And, you know, at times I've been pretty unhappy with how I've looked, but I have actually noticed that even though I, you know, don't fall into a category of having an eating disorder, I do notice that how you see yourself changes over time. So I have a nice set of very accurate electric scales, and there are days if I'm having a really bad week, like a bad week at work or problems with friends, I might feel bad about myself, and I'll get on the scales thinking, I must be fatter, like I look terrible at the moment. And you get on and realize, no, my weight hasn't changed in months. So I think it's incredible how your mood can so change your perception of what you look like.
Yeah, that's also a really interesting point. And also, I think it is important to highlight the fact that the weight number on the weighing scale, that does not determine your look either. Because when you look at, well, you know, 10 pounds of just meat, the fatty type, and, you know,
muscles.
And compare it with the muscle of, you know, 10 pounds, and it looks very much different. So if we just blindly go for whatever smaller the weight number is, and then that could often make us neglect real health issues. And also, like Carl, you mentioned that sometimes it's really unfortunate if you become a patient of bulimia or anorexia, and it's really harmful to one's health, and to get out of it can take years. And once you destroy the health balance in you, it's a really big challenge to come back from it. So, you know, it's important, I think, for everybody to not just see the number, but see you as well, and not be blinded by some of this talk that is as if skinny is beautiful. That's not the only benchmark to tell what is beautiful or not.
I think we are surrounded, though, by images that present a certain look as being beautiful. So, you know, waif-thin supermodels, which is less, I think, of an issue now. I think the fashion industry is coming around to slightly healthier views of, you know, what's attractive. But I think we're used to seeing thin people and fit people, and that's presented as being, you know, a stereotype of beauty. And that does put a lot of pressure on people. My personal view is that I think it impacts on women a bit more than men. Looking at some of the women in public life in Australia, in politics, they're judged by what they wear and how they present in a way that, for example, male politicians just aren't. Mm-hmm. I think as a man, you can be a bit of a fat, lazy slob and dress like crap, and you get away with it. But if you're a woman who's a little bit bigger than average, you get judged really, really harshly. And I think that's baked into a lot of our social attitudes and our expectations of the two, you know, differences between the two genders.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm. And also, I think we are heavily influenced by those celebrities on social media, because some girls, for example, they want to draw on the fashion experience on those celebrities. They check their photos. They all look glamorous. They're super skinny, I can say. Usually, for example, an actress, maybe at my height, is about like 167 centimeters. Their weight is just less than 50 kilos. Sometimes they are even less than 45 kilos. Of course, they look gorgeous in the outfit because that was designed for them. And you may think, oh, that's the standard of beauty, so I need to be as skinny or slimmer as them. But sometimes, maybe in their real life, they're just like you. Without the filter, without the posing, without the makeup, they may just look like you. So you may be already quite pretty. And also, if you check out how those celebrities become that skinny, you won't want to try. Because before, I thought they were all naturally born that way. But later on, if you check out some interviews of those celebrities, they don't eat anything at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a very healthy way and can make you happy.
Yeah, that's, again, the really complicated relationship between you and your body. But for actresses and those who live under the spotlight, I sort of can understand that, you know, we've heard of that phrase, the camera adds 10 pounds, 20 pounds, or whatever pounds. And I think it's sometimes because of the what's required of their profession, and also feeding into the pre-existing bias towards, you know, whatever slender and skinny looks better. I mean, you know, feeding into that, and they feel, you know, the celebrities in the spotlight feel that they need to cater towards that kind of taste. Or if you put on a few pounds and the face looks bigger for an actress, sometimes you lose work if you're not like an A-lister or something like that. So, but for an average person like myself, I'm perfectly fine with just putting on a few more pounds if that makes me feel good. But not always is the case. So I think it's also, you know, kind of interesting to see what's the work environment, what's asked from your job can affect your choices in how you want to present yourself and appear to be.
And I think this has really changed a lot over the last 30 or 40 years. I think if you go back to look at, and again, I'm looking at it from a Western perspective, but if you look at a lot of, you know, famous movie stars in the 50s and 60s and even in the 70s in the West, they look quite different than people do today. And mm-hmm. if you go back even further into history, you'll see that we would look at some of those people and say they're not really in good shape, but that was okay because they could act and they were beautiful. We didn't expect them to be waif thin, or if they're a guy, we didn't necessarily expect them to be big and muscly. So I think there's always been expectations about what's beautiful or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think certainly television and the internet have changed expectations of beauty in a really dramatic way and in a really, really fast way.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I go back to using TV as an example, there's a book by an American sociologist who was talking about even the change of the introduction of television and saying that, you know, if you look at, you know, men, for example, who run into politics, you know, can you imagine a really fat president of the US? Can you imagine
kind of
a bald president? And he was talking about the fact that, you know, once you get into the late 60s and 1970s yeah. and TV became a really common way of promoting, you know, your political views or yourself as a celebrity, that really started this acceleration of this ideal of what you had to look like.
Mm. Well, Huangshen, do you see that there's possibly a change in what's seen as beautiful here in China in the last few decades till now?
I think now, definitely there's a new trend embracing the diversity of beauty. And especially, I think it's from the Western entertainment industry, because recently I remember I saw the plus size model was in the Vogue cover with Kendall Jenner and Liu Wen. That girl is very confident, and she's, of course, oversized, but she just looks as beautiful as the other really skinny models. And you know, I'm a fan of Taylor Swift. I remember when her album Reputation debuted and was come out, everyone just said, wow, Taylor is getting fatter, look at her strong size. But now I feel like people are gradually accepting the new image of Taylor because she looks so healthy, not like extremely skinny, and for her height it's not very healthy. Mm-hmm. And now people are gradually seeing, as long as you look healthy, then that's the standard for beauty. And also, but it's still, there's a necessity of losing weight when you feel uncomfortable of your body. And also, maybe is there some healthy health concerns, then maybe it's time for you to lose some weight.
I just like to add one thing, though, and I feel that as a tall, big-boned Chinese woman, I feel I am just sort of in this for the lose, because most Chinese people or East Asians have a really light build in comparison to Caucasian people or, you know, lots of other people around the world. And I see my friends, a lot of Chinese girls, without any control of diet, they're naturally thin and naturally just slender. And when they're sometimes yelling, I need to lose weight, I'm like, hey, you're not serious about this, just talking about it, right? Yeah, it's also interesting when for the maybe the East Asian point of view, when you look at Taylor Swift before she put on a few pounds, that's considered as the right weight, yeah, possibly in Asian eyes. But for, you know, her peers back at home, they probably think that she's really skinny. So a lot of this stuff, you really have to put it into perspective. But one comforting thing, I suppose, is during summertime, because we're out so much and we wear less, we're more conscious about our body and weight. So maybe it is a good time to keep an eye on such things. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.